Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. And want to just let you know, if you're not having remembered, that it's Mother's Day. I think Pecky said that. And I want to just start by saying Happy Mother's Day to Lynn. Happy Mother's Day to Jenny. Happy Mother's Day to Brittany. And Happy Mother's Day to Penny. And we have a very special guest this morning. My daughter is joining us from Columbus, Ohio. Happy Mother's Day. So we're going to talk this morning about James. We're going to continue our series in James and looking at chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And it's interesting. Verse 7 begins by saying, therefore. And one of the things I learned early on is if there's a therefore, we look at, to see why it's there for. And you know what? Tom is the one who helped us to see what that's all about. As his last point last week was, patience is good. Patience is beneficial. Patience benefits us. Patience is good. So if you haven't figured it out, our key word this week is patience. Well, so what is patience? The Bible says that patience is being long-tempered. As opposed to short-tempered. And I got to think about this this week, actually for the last couple of weeks. I know what short-tempered is. I had a grandmother who was short-tempered. She wasn't long-tempered. And I thought, well, that's kind of, you know, man, I walked around in eggshells on, you know, being around Grandma Douglas. And then my dad told me one day that he says, oh, yeah, your great-grandmother, she had a short temper. She was volatile. And so I went, okay. So now I kind of see where the pattern is. Running right down through the family. So I started asking the question, you know, I wonder how all of us are doing on patience, especially in the middle of this pandemic that we're all going through. And what really gets under our skin? So I thought, well, you know, this is going to be fun. I sent a text message out to several people this week. And I said, hey, what's really getting under your skin? What makes you, you know, impatient? So here goes. The first one, which I wasn't surprised about, inconsiderate drivers. Yeah, they weave in and out of traffic and they cut you off and it causes impatience. Someone else told me that it's the people who don't think before they act. Now in shooting sports, you know, normally it's, you know, ready, aim, fire. But in this people's cases, it's fire, ready, aim. And so they're totally out of line, and their failure to take time causes us to lose time, to waste some time. Someone else told me it was giving a half-hearted effort at work. You know, they're there in body, but they're just not there in spirit. They don't show any drive. Then I thought, well, you know, I bet the marrieds have some issues with impatience. So some things I've heard, you know, like from time to time, I wish that he would just pick up his, you know, underwear on the bathroom floor. Why does he leave it all over the house? You know, sometimes, you know, now it's Mother's Day and we're talking about, you know, some parents, you know, have impatience with their kids. They just don't seem to listen very well. I don't. So then there's always the professor who thinks that he or she's the only one in the university piles on the homework. So. I've watched with a lot of interest the effects of the pandemic over the past month, and we've all suffered from it. I think it's tried our patience. All of us have felt loss and grief. I mentioned that 2 weeks ago in a micro moment. Loss of freedom, shelter in place, loss of friendship, our inability to, you know, get together with one another and touch one another, hugs and handshakes, loss of security. The fear of unknown tomorrow, what's going to happen? And then finally, with our Purdue graduates, a loss of celebration, no ability to walk across the stage and get your shield in front of everybody. So, you know, I thought about this. I gave it some careful thought. What I think boils down to is this. We fear loss of control. That's where we're at. We can't control our circumstances and our surroundings. We want to, but we can't. We become impatient, and it's causing emotions to flare. There's a lot of feelings going on. Press briefings are contentious. Protests are locked down. over the lockdowns. People are impatient. They want to get out. Interviews are very heated sometimes. So as these things pile up, many of us are working hard at controlling our emotions. Our patience wears thin. The longer this goes on, I don't know. Not sure I have a real good feeling about this. About 20 years ago, I think our nation could have handled this stuff with this character. Today, I'm not sure. The longer this goes on, it's going to wear us thin. So what are we going to do? Well, James has something to say about that this morning. Scripture has hope for us. It has help for us. James gives us four commands. So Tom and I have been back and forth on two things of this and six things of this and all kinds of different opportunities. But there are four commands this morning in our verses 7 through 12. So we're going to look at these. And our theme this morning is patience brings blessing. Tom talked about patience is good for us. Well, we're going to see how that is this morning. So I'm not telling you this morning to be patient. I'm going to let James do that. Patience is being long-tempered, not short-tempered. Patience is just the opposite of anger, and it's associated with mercy and hope. As we're going to look at this, patience brings a harvest of good to our lives. It keeps us close to our Lord. It has a valuable secret that we're going to find out here in a little bit. So we can discover this as we look at this all-important topic. Let's just ask the Lord to bless the time, and we're going to dive right in here. Father God, we are so grateful that you love us and that you are taking us through this pandemic time. Our patience is being tried. But Lord, you have four things that you want us to recognize this morning and to grapple with this morning, to wrestle with this morning, and that will really give us a new perspective on things. This James book is all about authentic Christianity, real life Christianity. And Lord, that's what we're doing right now. We're learning how to learn real life, how to live real life Christianity in the middle of a pretty rough spot. So bless us here as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen. So patience brings blessing. James gives us four commands. So as we look at our slide here, first he tells us to be patient with our Lord's coming. That's to bring a harvest in our life. The word picture is a farmer. We're going to go into that. Be patient with your heart. That brings peace. Abiding in Christ, verse 8, will bring us peace. Be patient with others. Patience fosters relationships. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11 in that one. And then being patient with our words. It keeps things simple. Don't swear. We're going to find out what that means in verse 12. So let's dive in. Let's look at what we're talking about here this morning. First of all, be patient with your Lord. Be patient with our Lord. Verse 7 says this. Be patient, brethren. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets to early and late rains. Now, the word picture here he's giving us is of a farmer. And we're talking about the fact that I want you to just kind of catch a picture here of what we're talking about. The Lord's coming is it's his timing, not ours. And so a Jewish farmer, his growing cycle is totally different than an American farmer's cycle. And here's what I mean. There's an early rain and there's a late rain. But the early rain comes in the fall, not like we would expect it here in the United States. It comes in the fall. It comes in October and November. That's when they plant over there. And so then that rain comes and it allows that seed to germinate. And then there's several months of dry, parched ground. Dry, parched ground. So then those late rains come in the springtime, what we would call springtime. And that's when they actually then harvest. Is after the March and April rains, that germinates the seed and away it goes. But the farmer anxiously watches the skies and prays daily patiently for the blessing of the rain to come. That's the difficult times. The blessing of the rain keeps in perspective. James told his audience, you're just like the farmer. You've received the blessing of the seed planted in your life. And now you're going through some difficult times. Life is not a rose bed. Parched ground, scorched earth. Wondering when all of this is going to be over with. And James says, be patient with your Lord. Focus on his coming. He will bring the latter rains. He will help seed take root and grow in your life. He's the harvest you're waiting for. So as I look at this picture here that I show you, okay, here's a couple lessons I think we have to grapple with, wrestle with, and maybe embrace. So if I was a farmer looking at this, I'd look at the bins, and then I look at the dry ground there before me. Those bins are showing me last year's harvest. And you know what? I think that's the people in our world today who want to go back to what was normal. They want to go back to the way life was. They hanker for the harvest of the past. They think of how good it was. And James is saying, nope, you don't do that. You don't look back. You look forward. And then you can also look at that dry ground in front of you and you go, well, there's seed in there, but there's nothing really happening. It's parched ground. What's going on here? Dry ground. Nothing appears to be growing. So James says, don't look back at the harvest. Don't look at the parched dry ground. That's the current situation. Focus rather on the Lord and the sure promise of his coming. Don't focus on the pandemic. Focus on what God is wanting to teach you during this time. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But anticipate his coming. And it's interesting, you and I may be thinking, well, boy, Lord, you're sure being slow about this. So, man, Lord, you're really being, you know, you're trying my patience. But you know what? Here's the beauty. He's got a reason for it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'll read that to you. The Lord is not slow. No, he's not. He's right on time. He's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but his patience is towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all come to repentance. Isn't that wonderful? God's patience as we go through this growing cycle is that he's wanting to bring more people into the kingdom. More people into the kingdom. So don't focus on the grain bin. Don't focus there on the parched ground. So focus on the Lord's coming. When he shows up, he will right everything. When he shows up, he'll set the record straight. He'll bring justice, and patience pays off. Waiting for the Lord for his return and trusting your life to him pays off. It also pays off in others coming to know him personally. Be patient with the Lord. You and I need to trust him to see us through this pandemic and any and all future hardships. You know, this might not be the last one. So remember, it's his timing. The next slide shows you a really exciting, I think, picture. It's a harvest, and it's not just a couple of grains, a couple shocks of grain. It's a tens of thousands of acres. That's what God wants to bring in your life, a major harvest. His presence is the harvest. His presence in your life, his presence of coming back, is where the true harvest will really be. So that's command number one. Be patient. Be patient until he's coming. Be patient like the farmer. Command number two, be patient with your heart. Be patient with your heart. So patience brings a harvest. Then the next slide shows us the patience with our heart. Verse 8, you do be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Isn't that an awesome verse? Read that again. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Wow. So as in verse 7, verse 8, James says, be patient. But here he says, strengthen your heart. How's your heart doing these days? How are you feeling? What's going on in that tank underneath there? How are you responding to the continued day in and day out of the pandemic? There appears to be some light at the end of the tunnel, folks. But you know what? I'm not sure how long that tunnel's going to be. Authorities tell us that we might see another couple bouts of infection before this is all over. So here's a question I thought. Are you dealing with the pandemic differently today than you did a couple months ago? My guess is yes, you are. The longer this goes on, the more weary that you and I are going to get. Our hearts and lives can drag. So what does James say about this? He says, strengthen your heart. That's what he says. The word strengthen literally means to fix, fasten, and prop up. Take your heart, lift it up, and nail it in a good place. Well, how do we do that? What's a good place? So I was thinking about this, and I think there's at least two things that come to my mind in relation to that. Psalm 55:22 tells us to cast our burden on him, and he will sustain you. So this morning, I want to give you the first thought about that, and that's what I call the 4-6 challenge. Philippians 4:6. That's the challenge. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So cast your burden on him. He can handle that. He wants you to get alone with him. Talk to him about your heart. Tell him how you feel. Don't try to stuff your emotions, process them. Tell him what's going on emotionally, spiritually. I talked about that a few weeks back. Moving our concerns off the worry list and putting them over on the prayer list. That's the 4-6 challenge. Don't be anxious. If you start to feel anxious, say, okay, this is what I do. When I start to feel anxious, I start to say, Lord, why am I anxious? What's going on? Reveal to me where my anxiety is, and then I start to, and I did that last night. I was laying in bed, and there was some anxiety, and I thought, okay, Lord, what am I anxious about? And I thought, okay, I'm going to transfer it just like I'm going to tell everybody tomorrow morning. I'm going to do the same thing, transfer it off my worry list over to my prayer list. And the blessing is that the Lord will give you peace. There's another one. So that's number one, is the 4-6 challenge. Number two is this. No, not quite yet. Ryan's jumping ahead of me. So go back. Strengthen your hearts. Part number two is this, is I call it the 50-20 vision. This is what Chuck Swindoll calls it. And it's from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. All right, this is cool. If you remember the story, it's Joseph and his brothers. And, I mean, they were not nice guys. They were very mean to Joseph. And boy, the thing that they got him into was a pretty rough go. I mean, it was hard life. They sold him into slavery, and so off he went to Egypt, and so his whole world was ripped apart. His whole world was ripped apart. So there comes a point, though, where at the father dies, and the brothers go, oh, this is not cool. He's going to take revenge on us. He's going to get us. He's going to come back and settle the score. And Joseph calls him in, and you know what? I think it's interesting. Joseph tells something to his brothers about what he's learned in life. They meant it for evil, but God was in control. God meant it for good. God was in control all the time. God used it for good. God strengthened Joseph's heart. And his heart was strengthened because he was actually getting closer to God. Through all that he'd endured, Joseph learned to strengthen his heart by abiding. Remember, this has been the series. That's what we've been talking about, is abiding. And that means getting close to God. That's a good message for our heart and mind. You and I, through all of this that we're going through, we need to not turn away from God. We need to turn toward God. We need to abide in him. There's a lot of evil going on in the world at the present time. It kind of appears like it's a flood, like a tsunami in some regards. It appears that, to me, evil almost has the upper hand. But you know what? That's not true. God is in control. The secret is to abide in him and stay close to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, God's looking for hearts to strengthen. He's looking to and fro. Is that what your heart's like? Is it really strengthened? Is it turning to God? Trust God that he's in control and his plan is working. If you do, Joseph and you will experience the same thing, peace, because God will strengthen your heart. So remember, patience brings peace. Remember, patience and abiding brings strength. Strength brings patience. Patience brings peace. That's a blessing. A strengthened heart is a peaceful heart. So don't forget, 4-6 challenge, 50-20 vision. Number three, be patient with others. You probably thought, yep, he's going to get around to that at some point. We have to deal with people. And verse 9 says this, "Don't complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." Wow. You know that complaining is equal to judging. That's what it says. Jesus told us pretty clearly that we were not to judge. We're to be patient with those around us, especially those closest to you, your church family. James knew that his audience was in a very difficult situation. Tom and I have been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. Culturally, economically, spiritually, the audience that James was writing to was having a very rough go. It was definitely a difficult time. It was that dark time that Penny was talking about a little earlier. And you know, we're starting to see some of that behavior even today in our nation. And Tom talked about that last week, some of the harassment that's going on. And you know, I'm sure it's happening around the globe as well. James knows that when things get tough, it's easy for us then, the tendency is to start laying blame. We find fault. We find fault with others. We find fault with the government. We find fault with caregivers. We find fault with family members, church leaders, members. We just look around for someone to blame. We look at others and we say, "You let me down." How does James answer this one? Well, he reminds us that when we complain, we're putting ourselves in the position of a judge. The Bible tells us that that's not our role and responsibility. Only God has that role and responsibility. So if it's tough, what can we do about this, James? How can we have hope here? And I think this is interesting. James uses two illustrations to teach us about how to have patience with others. So as the next slide shows us, James brings up the prophets and he brings up Job. These are two great word pictures. These two groups of people here are two great word pictures that just teach us about blessing and how we can have patience with others. Let me read 10 and 11. "As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." Isn't that interesting? Wow, that is just so interesting to me. Here's what he was saying. James says, take a look at the prophets. You know, and the prophets found themselves in almost the same predicament as James's audience. They were, you know, oftentimes not respected. Oftentimes they were harassed. They were harassed for doing something like speaking in the Lord's name, and they suffered for it. Many of them even paid the ultimate price by giving their lives in order to bring the word of God to the people. So how is this an example for us? It's just this. They trusted God's word. They trusted God's promise. The key word is turning. Are you going to turn on others, or are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn on others and blame them for your issues and your concerns and your disappointments and your frustration? Or are you going to turn to God and his promises? So in many cases, the prophets didn't even see the promise that they spoke of fulfilled. Isn't that interesting? We may not see the end of this pandemic ourselves either, but we can trust God. We can turn to him, and he will see us through it. Another good example is Job. Now, boy, he went through some very challenging times in his faith journey. He could have easily lashed out. He could have looked for someone to blame. Could have blamed his wife. Could have blamed, you know, people around him, his neighbors. He could have blamed, you know, the three friends who came and talked to him. But, you know, Scripture says he didn't. He didn't blame. Job 1:22 tells us that he was blameless and did not sin. He persevered. He was patient. He entrusted himself to God. Now, the interesting part here to me is what James calls attention to. James says that Job got a blessing. Job was blessed as a result of his ordeal. His ordeal was a dark time. Job experienced what Penny talked about earlier in Isaiah 45:3. treasures of darkness. And you know what? I looked up that word treasures, and it's hoarded treasure. It's lots of stuff, lots of treasure, all kinds of memorabilia. You know, we can think of people who have hoarded stuff, and you know, it's precious stuff. And Job realized some treasures out of his dark time. But the treasure wasn't material. James tells us that he discovered that the Lord was full of compassion and merciful. The true treasure was getting to know God. Now, Job was blessed materially doubly at the end of that ordeal, but that's not what the focus was. Job's patience led him to understand God, not in his head, but in his heart. I think that's so interesting. The blessing of Job, the lesson of Job is getting to know God. Getting to know God. It's the eternal blessings. So remember, patience fosters good relationships. Fosters relationships, both with those closest to us, so we, instead of blaming, we embrace them. And we turn to God instead of turning on others. And it gets us close to God. It moves us from the head to the heart. And that's what I think God wants us to do. Fourth command, be patient with your words. Patient with your words. So what does verse 12 tell us? But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. What's James talking about here? He says, don't swear. Well, at first, that seems kind of strange. That doesn't seem connected with everything else. That's what I thought when I went for this passage the first time. I told Tom, I said, man, this thing is weird. You know, suddenly he's talking in verse 12 about, you know, not swearing. And then I realized he's not talking about profanity here. He's talking about saying oaths. An oath is basically to make a promise with your words. In some cases, it's to make a threat with your words. It reveals that we want control. We want revenge. We can, you know, I mean, we're frustrated with the situation. We can do this occasionally when we're under tremendous pressure, like the people of James's day were. Things weren't going well for them. They wanted justice. They wanted revenge. They wanted things right. Things to be fair. Perhaps they were thinking, I'll get these guys when this is over with. That's an oath. James says, don't do that. He said, basically, because Jesus told you in Matthew chapter 5, 34 to 37, don't do that. Jesus warned us not to make oaths. So James says, let your yes be yes and your no, you know. Just a simple yes and a simple no is sufficient. Well, what's the secret of this? Now, here's the secret. Oaths indicate anger, but simple words indicate patience. Expectations, that's what we're talking about here. Patience demonstrates itself in giving your expectations to God. Patience demonstrates in giving your expectations to God. Your expectations of justice and fairness, and taking care of your frustration. But let's go back to the beginning. When I asked those questions, expectations of inconsiderate drivers, unthinking colleagues at work, lazy employees, poorly organized professors, insensitive spouses, difficult children. Let go of control. Let go of control. Let God by giving your expectations to Him. The more simple your language is, the better off you'll be from getting in trouble. I always try to remember that God can bring a whole lot more heat and light to a situation than I can. He can smoke them a lot better than I can. So trust God to work things out and demonstrate patience. So remember, be patient with your words. Patience with our words blesses us with peace on the inside. That's where it's really at. So as we wrap this up this morning, patience brings blessing. A harvest of blessing to your personal life. A blessing of closeness to our God. The secret of knowing Him experientially, not in your head, but in your heart. Blessing of peace. So patience is really a very good thing for us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. is associated with love, all good things for our lives. So I have four applications I just want to share with you as I close this morning. First, we said, be patient with our Lord. Anticipate his coming. Here's what I thought about. Waiting reveals what you're worshiping. I think this COVID has really called out a lot of idols in our lives, guys. I think this COVID is scouring away some of the junk in our lives. This world that we live in has worshiped a lot of things. It's worshiped money. It's worshiped sports. It's worshiped entertainment. It's worshiped people that are not good. And you know what it's doing? It's scouring those things away. It's hard for us to lose those things, but they're the idols in our life. I was kind of laughing this week because I heard a story about a young mother who recognized something about this. Whenever she was getting frustrated with the kids, she would go off to Sonic and get a drink. Okay, everybody know about Sonic, you know? Yeah, a little fast food joint. And she came to a realization that what she was doing was worshiping the drink because it was meeting her need more than God was. And she realized, you know, I need to stop that. When the children start to misbehave, I need to cry out to God and not go get a drink at Sonic. I thought that was just kind of funny. But you know what? It's so true in our lives. What is it that we really turn to, guys, when it gets tough? That's what our idol is. And if it's not God, then it is an idol. So turn to God. Wait for him. And when the waiting is going, it'll reveal what you're worshiping. Be patient with your heart. Cast your burden on the Lord. Use the Philippians 4:6 challenge. Use the Genesis 50:20 vision. But here's a thought for you. Waiting is never wasted. Waiting is never wasted. It's really good time. The silence and solitude and the things that we're dealing with, they're really, really helping us, guys. Waiting is never wasted. There's lots of lessons that God is wanting to teach us, and that will strengthen your heart. Abide in him. Get close to him. Be patient with others. That's number three. Don't turn on others. Turn to God's promises. Waiting helps us focus on God's faithfulness. That's the one thing I've noticed, that God is so faithful. Even when I'm not faithful, he's faithful. He's there, and he's helping me to get through this. He's helping me to be patient with others. And fourth, be patient with your words. Don't make threats. Let God have control. Waiting reveals what expectations you still need to give to him. So trust him to take care of those things. And when a frustration comes up, use it as a springboard to say, Lord, there's an expectation I have here, and I need to give it to you. So patience brings blessing. The blessing of personally knowing him. That's the bottom line this morning. Patience brings the blessing of really knowing and expecting and looking for our Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Let's pray. Father God, we are just before you this morning. We are grateful as we work through this difficult time. And it's easy for us to look at the bins and look at the past. It's easy for us to look at the scorched ground, the empty, dry ground, and have our focus down here. And instead, Lord, our focus needs to be on you and your return. Our focus needs to be there, and that we will then be patient. Be patient for the coming of the Lord. Your coming is near. We don't know how near it is, but it could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be next month. And Lord, we want to be examples of being patient. We want to be patient with you. We want to be patient with our heart. We want to be patient with others. And we want to be patient with our words. So Lord, bless us this week as we live another week for you. And that, God, we would be the kind of examples of getting to know you personally, even better than we do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.